You know, every time I speak, I want the truth to come out. You know what I'm saying? Every time I speak, I want to shiver. You know, I don't want them to be like, they know what I'm going to say because it's polite. They know what I'm going to say. And even if I get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? That ain't that what we're supposed to do? I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world.
I think what you're trying to ask is, why am I so insistent upon giving out to them that blackness, that black power, that black pushing them to identify with black culture? I think that's what you're asking. It's I have no choice over it. In the first place, to me, we are the most beautiful creatures in the whole world, black people. I mean, and I mean that in every sense, outside and inside. And to me, we have a culture that is surpassed by no other civilization, but we don't know anything about it. So again, I think I've said this before in this same interview, I think at some time before, my job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
I am your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Angela Connor. And welcome to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. We are the return of intelligent radio as we ensure the free flow of opinions and push the envelope on the questions America's afraid to ask in the mainstream media. And we are pushing the envelope this morning. Angela, if you will, before we interview our special guest, I mean, technically, based on your background, you are a special guest as well. So if you will, quickly say hello to the intellectual outcast out there. Tell them a little bit of your background before we introduce our returning special longtime member guest to the show. But again, hello, Angela. How are you doing this morning?
I am wonderful. Thank you for that amazing intro, Montoya. My name is Mistress Angela Connor, and I am a relationship, intimacy, and sex coach here in Atlanta. I'm actually an educator. So I'm excited to be here today. I work with couples, especially in my community, of how to liberate their sexual lives. So, yes, I'm excited to be here with you guys this morning.
Glad to have you. And without further ado, probably doesn't need an introduction at this point. Many times she's been on the show. But Dr. Katrina Pittman, I would now call you our resident psychotherapist. Again, you and a couple of others really fit the bill when I say, hey, can I get your expertise on the show? So if you will, Queen, say hello to Angela, hello to the intellectual outcast listening, and let people know who you are. Thank you for being with us again, Queen.
Hello, my sister Queen Angela. So good to be in this conversation with you today. And definitely, Black Socrates, I definitely appreciate every opportunity to come forth. I am Dr. Katrina Pittman. I'm a psychotherapist, and the name of my company is A Paradigm Shift. So with that being said, I definitely love to just focus on our mindset and deal with the experiences and thoughts and feelings that we're dealing with and help make sense of it all. So I appreciate, and I am definitely excited about the conversation today.
Well, again, glad to have you on. As I said, we are absolutely pushing the envelope. And as the intro says, the questions America's afraid to ask. And so this morning's discussion question, if you are a first-time listener to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, again, I go by the name Black Socrates. So I always offer the show in the form of a question, you know, the idea of questioning everything or basically taking, if you will, the Socratic method to finding in revelations or answers or just insight to various topics. And so we're going to take that very method and use it for this morning's discussion question. To let the cat out the bag, is should porn or pornography be introduced into marriages / relationships? Should pornography be introduced into a marriage / relationship. And so the way I love to start the show is basically when I called you, Angela, we'll start with you as the co-host, if you will. When I called you and said, hey, and I'll let them know how I did. I gave you a couple of options in this situation. I said, hey, you know, I want to do a show. We can do this one or that one. And you chose this one. So I typically ask, what was your first thought when you heard the question worded that way? But in this situation, since you chose this one, I'm kind of curious as why was this the choice?
Wow. So, again, what is your show about? The things we don't talk about, right? And porn is one of those things that we play around in conversations, but we haven't had a real conversation about porn. So it sounded like a great conversation to have on a Saturday morning.
Hey, I love it. And so, yeah, like you said, people play around with it. We're going to have that real conversation today. And so, Dr. Pittman, now we'll go back to the way we typically ask. So when you first heard the question worded that particular way, can you recall the first thing that popped in your head?
Yeah, I got excited because I thought about the impact and influence that it has had on couples, marriages, relationships, and situationships from my perspective. So, and definitely was excited to unpack this conversation. Yeah, I thought just with the idea of should porn be introduced into a marriage or a relationship, it's just, and I don't want to get ahead of you, but definitely, ooh, the idea of all the little toppings on the pizza of that conversation.
Yes.
It really, it has to be, you know, at a, I think more so for me, and not to get ahead, it's more so, if, when, and why, and how.
Right. Well, I think it's there most of the time. We just don't bring it up, right? I think Matoya just got to be right back. But it's like a supreme pizza. I think I love that analogy of the pizza. It has a mix of everything. Yeah. So it's a great conversation, right? So hold on 1 second. So do you think it's, let me see, you started, you didn't want to jump into it. Yeah, but go ahead. Go right ahead. What was your initial thought?
No, it's just so, and I love that it's organic. So I know he was asking you at one point with the choosing of the options you had. Yes, this is a great Sunday morning Saturday morning type of conversation. And it gets to the thick of it where sometimes we are so busy in the work week, I guess we don't have time to focus on the other things. And on a Saturday, you know, we have a little bit of a time to shift our mind to engage in other ways. And so this topic is great because it's definitely dealing with relationships. And I'm going to be quiet for one second. I think I hear a little feedback. We hear you loud and clear.
Yeah,
okay,
we had some feedback for a second.
Knocked out. So sorry, thank y'all for taking over the show. So appreciate y'all very much for that. I was trying to get that double voice out, so I was able to get that out. All right, y'all, sorry about that. For everybody listening, yeah, we've been having matter of fact, let me apologize for anybody that tried to tune in last week. I had a bunch of people try to call into the show, and we actually were not live on the air. So I basically ended up doing the show with my guests. An amazing show, by the way, that everybody missed, unfortunately, and so we didn't even put the show out after the fact, after it went down that way. But again, just kind of been running into some microphone issues, so I'm going to have to figure that out. But thank y'all for taking over the show, if you will. Let's get to our first break, and then we'll come hot and heavy into this morning's discussion. Should porn be introduced into a marriage/relationship? We'll be right back, where all I ask is that you think.
What happens when your customers call your business and you're too busy to answer or call them back in a timely manner? You lose that business. Shockingly, 61% of inbound calls go unanswered. But fear not, tchmedia.ai is here to change the game. We specialize in capturing, nurturing, and converting your prospects into loyal customers. With our state-of-the-art communication solutions, no interaction will be left behind. When you miss a call, we've got you covered with automatic, engaging texts that keep your prospects connected and eager to choose you over your competitors. Don't let potential customers slip away. Make the smart choice with tchmedia.ai and skyrocket your conversions today.
tchmedia.ai is here to change the game.
Let's talk pornography. Some couples would say that watching pornography together actually helps and enhances their sexual relationship. See, these couples have found that the sexual relationship has gotten a little common, a little repetitive. And so what they say is watching porn together actually helps us get in the mood with each other. It helps us get ready, and then our sex life is better because of it. Is that really the truth? It could be. But the other question is, what else might it be doing that you're not thinking about? Are there any dangers in it? Are there any consequences that will be there, but by the time you realize they're there, it's too late and you don't know how to undo it? Those are some of the things we want to think about. So,
welcome back to the Mr. Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Angela Connor, the Mistress of Sexuality, and our special guest, Dr. Katrina Pittman, for this morning's discussion question: should porn be introduced into a marriage/relationship? As we hear a cut from Relationshots on YouTube, just highlighting and kind of laying the framework to this actual question. Like, some couples say, hey, it's a good thing, and this guy asked the question, you know, in a sense, are there any consequences that you may or may not know about when you enter into this space? So I think that's kind of a good framework. So, Angela, we'll start with you, again, as someone who, in a sense, helps couples, if you will, with their intimacy and improving that, whether individual or couple, as we said. For you, it's the guy says, hey, for some people, it could help. And then the other question is, what are the consequences? So just personally, if you don't mind sharing personally, kind of where do you land when you hear porn being introduced into a relationship, kind of, you know, where do you land personally?
Wow. So I think moderation, I think it can be utilized healthy, but there are consequences, like you said. It can start with unfair expectations in a relationship, right? So you have to understand what you're using the porn for. How are you using the porn? But I think it's healthy in a way that we have porn around us everywhere we are. Some level of porn is around. So how are you utilizing it, or how are you talking about it? Bring it up. Sneak around definitely has dire consequences, right? So I think it's better to be open with it than it is to be silent in a corner. But understand it's a tool just like anything else, I think.
No, fair enough. Dr. Pittman, before the break, I would call you. You kind of say, hey, this is something that you are well aware of in maybe some of the relationships, the couples that you've dealt with or whatever. You've seen this kind of, in a sense, be something that can be a part of it, maybe an issue. Or, you know, how do you feel about the idea that it could be helpful? Are there couples out there that do feel that it's helpful? Just any thoughts from you on kind of both sides of it, if that makes sense.
Yes, and I definitely want to stick to topic, but also express, I also feel this about individual singles who are wanting to be in coupled relationships. So for the pros, I definitely agree that there's a benefit to it. And sometimes it's the way things are introduced to us. So just the word pornography denotes a connotation that is hidden, secretive, dirty. But if we use it in the realm of Angela and I and dealing with clients, it's that part of education. So not so much as the tool itself. Sometimes it is a benefit to have a model. We learn by modeling, and then some things of teaching your mate some of the things you like, how to have a healthy sexual lifestyle and relationship. It could prove some benefits, and I definitely caveat that because, moreover, yes, I also agree it motivates mood, but the challenges that come with that are the that's a small return on investment. Those benefits are just listed as opposed to the outweighing challenges it may present. If I, the way I met you, right, even before you, the way porn was introduced to me, what fires together wires together. And so if I visually saw a sexual experience or an intense experience that triggered my erotic centers, like my genitals, my feelings of emotions of erotica, then what fires together wires together. And if I saw it done in that way, and this is my introduction to it, then I think this is how the standard norm is. And so I will become scriptive. I would think, oh, you got to make that sound. You got to do that. You got to bend that way. How do we get there? We just find ourselves implanted here. So there's a lot of awkwardness that can come. And so there can be more performance than really understanding true sexuality and intimacy. And not to mention the addictions. It is definitely addictive. And so, like Andrew said, within caution and limits, because it's the type of addiction that drives more and more different. So when you see it, you want more of it, and you want to amp up the variety of it. And then when you do that, it's definitely 4D. It is totally an interactive engagement. What you see and what you experience, the emotional triggers, the stimulation in your body, the things that you may, that motivate you to then self-soothe and self-satisfy in that way, can become to a degree where you overstimulate yourself. So regular intimacy is not enough. And I'm sorry, I know I'm saying a lot, but I definitely just wanted to hit on those and definitely that insecurity piece of self-acceptance. If you introduce it the wrong way,
let's kind of walk through a lot of that, because like you say, you are saying a lot, if you don't mind. And, you know, we got to, so we can kind of break into those things.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. So, if you will.
We get excited about it.
Yes.
I can dig it. So, Angela, here's before we even get into maybe, because I definitely want to get into psychology, obviously that's why I have Dr. Pittman here, right? But even before that, you said in moderation was a word I kind of keyed into when I first asked you, you know, your perspective on it. And so have you ever experienced, you know, maybe, because here's get through my research during the week, if you will, the common thing was even the idea of, quote, unquote, introducing it into a relationship or introducing it into a marriage. Typically, it's one of the mates that's wanting to introduce it, you know, kind of based on their own propensity to watch and that type of thing. So have you ever had to even contend with the dialogue of one mate trying to figure out how to introduce it? Is that been an interaction that you're familiar with? Because, again, that's what we said, should be introduced, if you will. So what if you're that one mate? What does that dialogue look like? Or, again, or have you had any experience with that, or just your thoughts on what that dialogue might look like?
So absolutely I have. I think Pittman was talking about this just a second ago. It depends on what your partner is open to, right? So when that one person is really gung-ho about porn, well, I hate saying porn. It's just such a negative word to me. So I usually change it to, you know, expression or whatever, but it depends on.
We don't play around with political correctness on this.
I know.
We're going to have to get over that.
The name of it is derogatory.
Yeah. So that's
what exposure is great.
Say what it is and get to it.
Yeah, call it out.
Okay,
say what it is.
Ain't no negative words on this show. We don't do political
It is. Well, I mean, it's a trigger word. Let me say that. Not for me, but a lot of times it's a trigger word for a lot of people, depending on what their experiences are. So porn, yeah, I think it depends on a lot of times they just don't know how to bring up the conversation, right? They're just intimidated or scared that their partner is going to think negative of them. So a lot of times trying to figure out a way to have a conversation. Again, I said earlier, it's around us and everything we see. Sex is on everything. Sex. So it's in your face. So being able to talk about it a little bit to see what their desires are is something that a lot of partners will usually do. If it's a male with a woman, typically men approach it for themselves, like self-soothing type of thing. But a lot of men don't realize that women are open to that type of thing, but they want to be lifted up versus being derogatory, right? So if you have like a positive porn, I don't know if you've ever heard of like a positive body image porn, but yeah. Did I help
I guess what I'm asking is whichever the mate, I would say maybe the male should be the one doing that, because that's what I heard you say. So talk to me about the dialogue. That's what I'm at. I mean, I may have thrown you off.
The actual dialogue. So a lot of times maybe they're sitting down. One way to do that is when you're sitting there watching television, you bring it up in conversation in television. It's like, hey, what did you think about what you just saw on that show right there, right? Have you ever thought about watching porn before, or have you ever thought about what it would be like to be in a group, like, you know, an orgy or whatever you want to call it? Sometimes they may look like, no, I haven't, but then it may pop up in their head, and like, what does that look like? So let's go on Pornhub or one of those shows, one of the streaming networks that you have, and let's check it out and see what it looks like. See if it does anything for you. Are you interested? No, you know, it's a way to use it to explore. So a lot of times bringing the conversation up in an exploratory way, like, what is your desires? What's your secret fantasies, right? Most partners don't know that about the other ones, so bringing it up in that way, in a non-threatening way, and then introducing porn that way. Like, let's watch it together and see what's out there, knowing that it's acting, but it may inspire us to learn a new trick. So bring it in as an inspirational tool into the relationship.
Yeah, I don't know how inspirational you're going to be if you tell me, have you ever thought about an orgy to introduce
right.
you to some watches? Some-
but, you know, some people...
I'm just throwing it out. When you say, hey, help me walk through how to have this conversation.
That you'll be surprised. Like,
the orgy is the first.
You'll be whatever your kink is, right? Whatever
you got
there to
laugh
with
me.
Whatever
you
want to try,
baby. You'll be surprised.
I don't
think you're serious. I'm highlighting
I'm
you throughout one
that,
of the most extreme ones. To introduce this conversation, like, you know, let's laugh at that, because that ain't the one that's going to work for me. I'm just trying to
You might be open to it one day.
Like, have you ever thought about watching porn, or have you ever thought about being in the art? Like, watching porn, I might get into that conversation, but in my life, have you ever thought about being in the art? The last thing I want to talk about is, are we going to watch the porn together?
Right. We just said, or is it us? Okay, that is us.
All right, go ahead, Dr. Pivot. I'm sorry.
Okay, so
first, I'm like, sure. All right, I'm scared of you, Ben.
Okay.
I'm here keeping it a book.
So it is
right,
about
ahead,
having real talk. Right, I think it's about having real talk and conversation. And I don't know, Angela, if it was introduced to me that way, it would be a turnoff. And I'll tell you why. Because some things, when we're getting to know each other, I want you to ask me questions, but there are topics that you lead with your desire, your true intent, your true stand on it. Because otherwise it may be feeling like you're trying to bait me to fish out what I'm trying to say to see if it fits. So we're doing this thing about using other tools, but we're very intimate, and this is personal, so there's a lot of trust there. So I would just say, you know, look, I know we don't know each other that much, but one of the ways that I get aroused is through watching videos, watching porn. I don't know if you're in that. What's your stand on that? That's part of my kinky box, but I don't want to push you or put you in any kind of uncomfortable position. What's your take on that? Right? Because I got to be a willing participant. I might not have ever thought
True.
About it, but I don't want to be fish baited into, well, you said, and now I'm booked because you're holding me to my word. So just being upfront and organic about it without justifying through examples. Well, it's everywhere. No, don't talk to the justifications from anything, even though they may be valid. Just speak from the truth of, hey, you know, my life experience, I was introduced to this, it's kind of been wired into my my sex lifestyle habit. I like it, and I want to know, you know, what's your thoughts on it? Because I'm not here to pressure you or convince you or manipulate you predatory style to introduce you to something I like. I just want to know your stance on it.
I love that.
I understood.
Go ahead.
Oh, but what about your couples? So I do understand and respect that with couples that are, that you're just getting to know, but sometimes when you're around each other for a long time, sometimes you don't know how to bring up the conversation. If I've been with you for 10 years and we can't really, we've gone through that little bump in the road where we can't really have a conversation about it, right? You know, sometimes bringing it up in a different way brings that way to have that conversation come up.
I'm sorry to cut you, but I need to understand what you're saying right here.
Okay.
So I'm at a loss for, and y'all can explain this to you, because I haven't been in a marriage or whatever. And again, it's not, I know it doesn't necessarily have to be a marriage, but just based on what you just said, I'm just at a little loss when you say we've been together, and just sitting the scenario that you're laying out is we've been together for 10 years, and there's a bump in the road to where we can't have the conversation. Like, that's confusing to me. And I'm not saying that you're saying something wrong. I just need to understand how kind of the context for, I would think after 10 years, I'm not saying that after 10 years I could just automatically introduce porn to my mate. That's not what I'm thinking here. I guess I'm surprised that you can't have the conversation. That throws me off a little bit. Help me understand after 10 years of being with someone, what you mean by I can't have the conversation. I just want to understand that part, if that makes sense.
So the part where desires change, right? I mean, we have kids life pulls you in different ways, and you just don't, you can't, you're too scared to talk about it, which your desires are.
I just wanted to understand. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, that was, I mean, sometimes people, they have a huge fear factor when they've been with somebody for a while, and, you know, something new has popped up in their mind and they want to talk about, but they're scared to be judged. Mm-hmm. How do I bring that conversation up in a committed, established relationship, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes having a conversation about a show is a way to bring that up. Like if you're watching TV, can we talk about this without having an argument about it? Or, you know, something's changed, right? So sometimes there's different ways to approach it.
No, I see what you're saying. So if I'm hearing you correctly, I love what you and Dr. Pittman both have brought. I got Ashley wanting to jump in as well, so I'm going to get her in here. But if I'm understanding the nuance of what I think I'm hearing from both of you, Dr. Pittman, absolutely, like you said, love the approach, kind of saying, hey, up front, here's my thing. And like you said, Angela, in her scenario, this is, you know, maybe a early on type conversation in the scenario that she gave. But if I'm understanding, the nuance is now that you've been together 10 years, you really know your other mate, there may be even more fear of introducing this new thing that, as you say, it may have popped in your head, because it may not even been your thing, right? Like you haven't been, if I'm hearing what you're saying, Angela, it's not a situation where you've been hiding this kink for 10 years from your, you know, person you've been together with for 10 years. It's just a new thing that popped in your head to say, I may want to try this for us. And you're saying, hey, let me find a roundabout, a way to test the water, because I don't want to create an issue with this thing that's in my head. So, maybe seeing a sexual scene could be a way to introduce how it even just popped in your head. So it's kind of like just kind of testing the waters, because you absolutely know this is not something you and this mate have explored. I think that's what I'm hearing you say.
It's a curiosity that popped up. You know, you see something like, oh, my God, I didn't know people do that. How do you do that? I wouldn't mind trying it with my partner, but I don't know how to even approach a conversation without, a dissertation.
No, that makes sense. Or you know, for the most part, you know, like I say, it is everywhere, especially in today's time with social media. So it could even be you used to watch it when you were younger. It never was approached in y'all relationship. And so the fear just kind of comes in. It's like, it's not even something that you just saw. It's just like, well, at this point, how do we spice up what we've had? It's kind of getting boring.
Absolutely.
Now. So I can see how that plays out. All right. Well, we're going to go to a break. Ashley, we will get you in right after this break. For anybody out there listening that wants to join the conversation, give us a call at 646-787-1691. Again, that's 646-787-1691. 1691. You do have to press 1 to let us know you want to speak. We'll be right back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. But all I ask is that you think.
Hey, are you a wine drinker?
A little bit here and there, but my wife definitely loves hers. Why you ask?
Man, you got to try this vegan wine by Sip and Share Wine. I ran across them at this event in Atlanta, and now I keep me a few bottles at the house. What flavor you like?
I mean, I like me a good red or maybe a nice dipping gel or something. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, try the sweet red first.
That's nice and smooth right there. Yeah, that's kind of sweet like I like it. You know what I'm talking about?
For sure. That's why I like that one as well. Hey, now try this Conjure Zinfandel. This one was featured in Forbes magazine as a top 10 drink for the summer. See what you think.
Oh, okay. Now that's fire right there. Where can I get a bottle of that?
Just go to sipandsharewines.com. They'll ship it right to your door. They black on too.
Oh, yeah? Okay, you said what? Sipandsharewines.com? Is that it?
Yep.
First thing is that watching porn together actually focuses your attention outside of the relationship. So you picture the two of you laying there with the TV on or your computer, whatever else you're using, and you're watching porn. Your sexual arousal is being directed not to one another, but to some couple outside of yourself. You are becoming sexually aroused and attached to some images outside of you and your spouse. So listen, I know what you're going to say. Yeah, but then we have sex together. So I get it that you're completing the sexual act with one another, but first you're attaching your arousal and your attention sexually to something outside of the marriage, which can leave either one of you, maybe both of you, feeling like you are just a convenient option for your spouse to complete their orgasm rather than a place where you guys are trying to connect intimately and have a great sexual relationship. So the first thing it can do is porn focuses your attention outside the relationship.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Angela Connors, Mistress of Sexuality, as well as special guest Dr. Katrina Pittman. For this morning's discussion question, should porn be introduced into a marriage/relationship? As we hear another cut from Relationshots from YouTube, just highlighting one of the potential issues, because again, even we're kind of been talking about introducing it, if you will, but also we have to be aware of potential issues as well. But Ashley, one of our Queens of Intellect members, is on the line, so I'm gonna get her in here live with us. How you doing this morning, Queen? What you got
for
us this
morning?
Good morning.
Good morning. So I just want to say I love the conversation, and I think that, you know, just listening to Angela and Dr. Pittman talk, to me it just enforces the fact that, like, you need to have frequent check-ins, you know, especially if you have an established mm-hmm. relationship. Like, this should not be, you know, the first time that you're doing a check-in with your partner regarding your intimacy and sex life, where you're like, hey, so what do you think about porn? It should really be that you're checking in frequently in between there to make sure that everything's good, because there are plenty of things that can be changed at any time. There are things that you could be doing differently depending on your woman's body and the hormonal cycle that she's going through, right? So, like, those are all considerations that Absolutely. Should be made in that. And also, like, not being afraid to establish boundaries around these things, both individually and with each other as it relates to it. I think, like, oftentimes what gets missed in these conversations, like, should we bring this into the relationship? Like, okay, you can, but, like, what are the boundaries that you're going to present as we do mm-hmm. things together if you're interested in mm-hmm. it? And I think that gets missed in so many conversations around sex mm-hmm. and intimacy, because people kind of feel like, especially when you talk about relationships where it's like this obligation, right? Like, those conversations that then begin, like, should you still have sex with your partner even if they're not in the mood? you still have to have boundaries. You're entitled to have boundaries. And if it's going to enforce and enhance your sex life, like, that should be another conversation that you're having. Are you comfortable talking about this now? Is there a better time? You know, do we want to do this together, or is it something that maybe we need to establish boundaries around you doing it on your own? And knowing that you all are having that honest and vulnerable conversation and being aware that, you know, there could be traumas and triggers behind it, it still, even outside of the sex, brings you closer because you better understand your partner.
Yeah.
Nah, it makes a lot of sense. Matter of fact, as I listen to you, actually, I don't know if you heard this part of the show, but I'm establishing me a boundary. Angela, we cannot watch videos with orgies on it, okay? I'm just going to go ahead and get that established.
Okay.
We can figure out the
Not while you're introducing to me my first porn experience. Please, my orgies.
Yeah,
slow
no,
down.
No, no.
Go slow.
So they're going
to
one of my boundaries. I'm starting out labeling my boundaries.
No.
Nah, like I said, I'm just trying to have a good time with it as well. But
always.
And then I'm gonna go ahead and keep this conversation going, and you can obviously come off the one and back on the one if you want to jump back in. But appreciate your three sisters morning.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, Ashley said some good stuff. Yeah, just really just the frequent talking and the frequent constant conversations. Because, yeah, you know, even moving outside of the pornography conversation, to her point, people are struggling with just the conversation with themselves, less much bringing in this situation of quote-unquote outside influence. But Dr. Piven, I'm going to jump to you to kind of jump back to what we heard in the cut. Was just this idea that keeping in mind introducing pornography or partaking pornography together within your relationship, keep in mind you are, as the cut said, kind of using an outside influence to give you arousal, looking at others, you know, particularly on a screen, if you will. We'll get into some of the psychology of the screen stuff later, but just your thoughts on hearing that aspect of the cut, that you're using outside entities to start your arousal. And the cut ended, what I thought was kind of pertinent, where you may end up feeling like, based on, I guess, who is most excited by the video y'all watched together, that you were just, in a sense, this vessel for them to release that excitement that really did not start with you as the intimate partner. Any thoughts on hearing that, Queen? Dr. Pittman.
Yes, a lot of thoughts on it because it goes back to what's wrong.
Hold on one second, Dr. Pittman. Angela, she sounds a little muffled for me. Is that just me, or you, if you hear it too, then that means the audience. Okay,
yes,
doctor, yeah, doctor, maybe talking to the phone just a little differently, maybe. Just want to kind of clarify, get it clear for the listeners as well.
Can you hear me now?
Much better.
Yeah, much better. Yeah, go ahead and finish your thought. Go ahead, Queen. Thank you.
Okay, so yeah, I was saying in agreement to what he was sharing was what wires together fires together. So sex really is the bottom line of intimacy in a relationship, whether you're married legally or choosing to be a committed couple. But we also have sex outside of those connections, but if it's a couple, like in his example, and we are now using this, way before we're having trouble with sexual arousal with our partner, there's other signs that our intimacy is struggling. We're lacking the choice to communicate certain things and work with you to, like, ooh, them crusty ankles, they are still sexy. I love that little crust that get in your mouth with that funky morning breath every time you say good morning. You got to make that stuff be sexy, especially after 10 years in or longer. But it goes about mindset and the mindset of when you're watching, that you are transferring the stimulation trigger to the outside. So now it's no longer intimacy with my partner. It's just stimulating my genitals and my hormones that make me have a biological response, which is an orgasm. It shifts it, and then it's still the act on the outside. It's still the end, quote-unquote, result of the orgasm, but there was a agreed upon disconnect. We'll shift how to get intimate with each other on a startup emotional level to this object outside of us. And then once it started up, then we can jump in and tune back into each other. No, you're going to continue to further the gap of what it takes for you to say the words to me I need, or I like foreplay. Can we do foreplay without a visual or audio like porn? Can we just create our own type of get to know me intimacy? Now I got a kangaroo pouch after all these little babies. You still like the way I look? That dialogue creates that level of not just sexual arousal, but intimacy and freedom that can make you then have the exploration that you want to and achieve those heights of intimacy like you like.
Wow. I'm going to definitely jump it over to Angela, if you will. But it's one thing you just said that it made me think about this deeper when you say, hey, do you still like the way I look after I've, in a sense, had these babies? I didn't think about it because of today's subject. I am realizing if you are that, in a sense, mother who looks, looks different after the babies, if you will, or you know that your body's not the same, and obviously I can't imagine what that experience is like. No man can. But I can imagine how even if that is the point in which the husband or the boyfriend or baby daddy, whatever the case may be, introduces, hey, can we try that? The first thought for her may be, is this why?
Come on, let's real talk about that piece, because there is so much insecurity. Women are displayed in a way. Eye candy is never over a certain size. Everything is airbrushed or cropped. All porn, most sex lounges, most dance lounges, most gentlemen's clubs, and porn is of the people that are physically healthy, unless you have that specific fetish. And so I'm a regular person with regular this, and I didn't get a Brazilian. I didn't get any extra. I just got my little dimples and all of that stuff. And I've been cheated on. And somebody has chosen or said something in my past that makes me have some body image issues. And you want to introduce porn to me? And they all look better than me from that background, it's not helping us. Every time, if you got to watch Jenna James, Jenna Jones, or whoever to then connect with me, I'm doing it because I want the connection to you, but there is an inward guilt, maybe a shaming that I'm owning because, well, was it really for me? Why we have to do it that way? So there's a deep level of pulling out where am I in my head about my self-concept, my self-value, how we introduce this thing into our relationship.
Hey, you said a mouthful, and it makes a lot of sense. Definitely want to hear Ezra's thought. I do want to correct. You ain't watching Jim and Jane. You got to be watching, like, Richard Steele and Candy or something, Dr. Pittman. Like, you can't. Like, who watches Jim and Jane XXX? Ain't nobody watching that. I'm just saying, everybody watching that. Maybe when they first came out, they got away with Jim and Jane, but in 2023...
Just a shout out to those born in 1930.
Yeah, if you go to Pornhub, Jim and Jay XXX gonna have 0 views. I'm just saying. Not that I don't know anything about this shit. I'm just saying.
We just saying.
All right, let me stop being funny. But Angela, that's a real thing, right? Like we already kind of talked about, for the most part, it's probably the man who's typically going to be the one, wanting to introduce it. But Dr. Pittman just laid out a whole bunch of things that's what you're, in a sense, at risk that she may be feeling that way or she's going to want it. Like I said, especially if you're offering it after she doesn't look the same. Like, I can only imagine what that looks like. But again, your thoughts on just hearing that again, it was just when she said it, I was like, ooh, that is kind of crazy to have to, you know, to maybe introduce it at that time. Like, that may, now I feel that fear that you're talking about, Angela. Like, if I was in that situation wanting to introduce it, yeah, I might just kind of be like, what you think? Like, what you I might be like, hey, what did you think with Bill and Rashad when they kissed on that shit? That was that cool to watch? Like, I was throwing a real light. We ain't going to start with a sex scene. I'm scared to get it.
Ooh, they kids.
Now I understand the fear you was talking about, Angela. Go ahead, Queen. Okay.
Dr. Pittman, you unpacked a lot, so I'm speechless a little bit because you are right, right? The shaming of women and that type of thing in the industry and what the expectations are. So, again, I kind of go to the more body-positive porn, which I know is hard to think, but Erica Lust is a feminist director that does porn. Her stuff is really amazing, right? It uplifts women where they're not sexualized in the scene. And a lot of times women are drawn to that, and sometimes that makes the woman more interested in the porn.
I'm sorry, and I really hate to do this. I'm playing around so much, I didn't miss the break. So
let me cut you off and let you come back.
You
got scared
I was going to
talk about orgies again, didn't you? I know.
Nah, I ain't just scared. Nah, I want to hear more about this Erica Lust. Sounds kind of good to me. Let me just tell me more after the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to you. You're listening to the Highlight Talk Show. All I ask is that you say.
LNG Technology Services, we are your industry leader in aircraft and heavy equipment repair services. In commercial business for over 15 years, LNG technicians have over 150 years of equipment-specific knowledge and are known industry-wide for returning worn-out, broken, and overused ground support equipment back to the user in working better than new conditions. For a service job done right at a value unparalleled in the industry, contact LNG Technology Services at 478-781-4860. Again, for a service job done right, that number is 478-781-4860. 781-4860. LNG Technologies is a Mental Dialogue Gold member and proud sponsor of the Mental Dialogue community.
First thing is that watching porn together actually focuses your attention. The second thing it does is porn makes real sex less interesting, right? So many couples are getting used to their sexual relationship with each other and like, it kind of feels the same. So they go, you know what, why don't we go watch something else to spice it up or stimulate it a little bit? The problem with doing that is you're going to end up getting to a place that you don't want to be. So here's how it works. Science has continued to show us that the brain creates maps based on what we view. And when the brain creates a map, it then desires to have that map activated or stimulated. So when you're watching porn, other times throughout the day, your brain map wants to be stimulated. So you're going to be replaying those images. You're going to be replaying them while you're at work. You're going to be replaying them while you're on your commute. You're going to be replaying those images while you're having sex with your spouse because the brain wants that stuff replayed. And here's the trouble. Novelty, something new, actually releases more dopamine in the brain than something you're used to. That's why if you are watching porn, I promise you, I don't even need to ask, I know I'll put $100,000 on the bet right now that you will not pick one video and watch that same porn video for the next 5 years because it will get boring. Your brain will want something new. So what happens is you get used to this novelty. And now what happens is you can't get aroused with regular sex with your spouse because you always need something new going on. And then you wonder why you're at a place where you're like, well, it's just boring with us and we need to add something to it. It's because you've been continually letting your brain know that it wants new images and new images and new images by creating that brain map. So watching porn together will make regular real sex with your spouse a lot less interesting.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the Mr. Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Angela Connor. This morning's discussion question, should porn be introduced into a marriage /relationship. Our special guest is Dr. Katrina Pittman. We get another cut from Relationship Shots. So we'll give them their credit. But yeah, Erica Luss, I want to hear a little more, Angela. So if you will, finish this up. Because let me say this real quick before I let you say this. And happy to be brought up on this show, because this is something for anybody that may be listening that I've learned over the years, and many people may have been exposed to it, but I didn't learn this till a lot later in my life, which was, you know, being an average teenager, being introduced back then to porn via, like, I think back when you had those discs and you would get the extra channels on cable, that kind of stuff. And so you go way high on the channels and you see porn or whatever, and you had the videotapes and all that kind of stuff, or something that was porn on some of the cable, if you will. But anyway, I'm just kind of saying all that it wasn't until my 40s, so I think this is partly where you're going, it wasn't until my 40s that I ever thought of this concept, that most porn is from the POV of strictly men. Like, it's just not even something, because I am a man, I would have to think about, right? That I'm only watching it from the POV of a man, which for the most part, most of it is denigrating women, even if you don't see it that way, because sometimes they sexualize it up, if you will. But the actual acts themselves typically are from the benefit and POV of a man. So I think that might be where you're going when you keep saying this positive. Because it is kind of weird for me to hear the word positive porn. I'm going to let you have it. I ain't never heard that term. But I think that's partly where you're going here. So let me hear a little more about Erica Luss. I see she didn't come up with a positive name. Her name fully fits the brand. Now let me mess it up. Go ahead, please.
I mean, porn is lust, right? So what she does is, one, she takes care of her actors, because, one, we have to remember that porn is acting, right? It's just using sex. It's using sexuality as a form of the acting. So she takes care of her performers. She makes women make sure that the actors are feeling good about what they're doing, if they're not comfortable or, you know, don't do anything outside of the norm, right? Let's not go and try to create this whole illusion that this woman can sit here and take 10 men at a time. You know, that the degrading stuff, that this is what you want. So she makes it more feminine-based, where women are actually seen getting being taken care of in a different sense, right? So she changes the narrative of the story, which, you know, makes it easier for a female to watch that, right, if she chooses to watch it, or it makes somebody feel better.
Yeah, it sounds like
education.
I mean, I need to do some study
on this. Education, but it's great. I mean, her stuff is good. Her stuff is really good. It's really good, though, I'm just saying. But
sounds quite educational.
Not that I know, but yeah, I do know. Continue.
But Dr. Pittman, yeah, if you will, I don't know if you were finished. Were you finished answering this? But
I'm just talking about changing the image, the images that we see, right? And women, lifting women up in a different way, in whatever way.
So what I do hear, and I definitely want to jump to the cut, and I'm pretty sure you do as well, Dr. Pittman. But what I am hearing with Angela's suggestion, that in the event that this is something you want to use to spice up your situation, maybe you could be very selective in the type of porn that you're introducing, because, as she just kind of laid out, it doesn't have the typical POV that makes it denigrating, you know, if you will, to the woman. So that may be a starting place for a couple that still wants to consider it. But I know, again, just kind of throwing it out, that's what I'm hearing her say. But jumping into the cut, definitely get the idea of, you know, again, these are just things if you're going to introduce it, we're still giving you you can introduce it, this is how you introduce it, but we can't have this conversation without the risk of the consequences, which is another thing you heard in that cut, which is the potential to make your sex life less interesting. And I would assume, you know, the guy didn't say that in the cut, but I would assume this would be more for maybe a couple that wants to regularly take part, because I can tell you I've done this maybe once or twice in my life, because it was never my thing personally to be into porn personally or whatever, but I definitely used it on an occasion or two, while with my partner, to the degree that it was positive, but it was never a regular thing, to the point where our sex life got uninteresting, because we didn't, you know, we kind of used it for that purpose to spice up a moment, if you will. But go ahead, Dr. Pittman. Again, one of the consequences is regular sex could become less interesting.
The reason why regular sex becomes
you're muffled again.
How about now?
Is that better? Okay, I appreciate you guys. The reason why it becomes less interesting is I hear we're kind of coupling it with watching porn with a couple in a couple setting. But again, you got to be honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. What wires together, fires together. Whether you were old enough to go in a gas station and see the brown paper magazines and take a glimpse, or you saw somebody who was watching some and left the video in the VCR, or however you came about it, and in this digital age, even on the phone, it's a very private type of hidden experience. So most people do it alone. And so the routine engagement of it may be more often for those individuals, and I understand you said that wasn't for you, but for those who got introduced to it, it may be the wiring of this is what the norm is. So I am so conditioned to more and different, more and more different. It edges it up. It really is a dopamine switch on that makes you then justify, well, yeah, I don't like chicken every day, and chicken with, you know, stewed chicken, baked chicken, grilled chicken, fried chicken, it's still the same chicken. I need more and different. So we begin to justify that in our relationships. And so then when I'm with my husband, with my spouse, with whomever, and we've been in the thick of it, and no, we're not wearing the lingerie like in the videos. We're wearing the T-shirt. Man, I had no underwear on, but it's just the oversized T-shirt. It's the boxers when they go to bed. It's not all of this primed up makeup and hair and language. It's about us being intimate, and that is where that feels boring to you. But then you begin to reject and disconnect. And then when you do, everything happens twice in the mind. I mean, twice, once in the mind, first in the mind and then in reality. So you got to make the decision. So then mentally you shut down from that intimate partner. Emotionally you begin to withdraw. So physically, yeah, it's hard to get stimulated by them. So those are definitely proceed with caution warnings that I would give to the consistent repetitiveness of porn on an individual personal basis, and then when you bring it into the relationship.
That makes sense. Angela, we've got a couple of minutes before we go to the top of the hour break. Your thoughts on partly, you know, in a sense, what us is a partly, but what Dr. Pittman is, you know, saying here that, you know, again, these are some of the risk. Here's a thing that I think is a good benefit, just to throw this out before you kind of give a response, is, you know, maybe the couple could go as far as to emulate what they see or whatever. I know for me, a couple of times I've introduced it, it wasn't just she and I watching, if you will. We were imitating, if you will, to a degree, and maybe the scene could be imitated, which now gets you out of the overblown T-shirts and just the boxers, if you will. Mm-hmm. So again, there's a possible way to use it. Again, I'm concerned about continuing to use it. I've already mentioned that. But yeah, if you can give me just a quick thought on that, and then we're going to go to the top of the hour break.
Yeah, I definitely agree that, I mean, the hazards of that goes back to the communication of the relationship, right? I think yes, I understand the dopamines and that type of thing. I guess it depends on why you're doing it, right? That's a huge thing that could cause issues with it. Why are you doing it? Why do you want to do the porn? Why do you want to introduce the porn? What's the point of it? Is it something you're trying to use regularly? Then I don't agree with using it regularly all the time. I think it's something, it's just, as I said earlier, it's a tool. If you guys want to, you know, explore with it together, then you use it as exploration tool.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Matter of fact, when we come back from break, you know, I'll even, you know, share the moment that, again, was positive. Again, we didn't make it a continued thing within our relationship or whatever. And, this was some years ago. But I'll, again, give an example of using it as a tool, if you will, successfully.
Yeah.
But, you know, to,
yeah.
Yeah, but to Dr. Pittman's point, and again, regular, and like you said, if you're jumping off and doing it on your own, which obviously is
yeah.
a risk, that's, you know, these are all real risk, and I'm not taking that away. However,
yeah.
I will point out, you know, a positive that, I've had with it out of this break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mr. Law Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Hey, where did you get that hat and t-shirt? I like that.
Oh, I got this at moneymotivation.com. It's fresh, right?
Yes, and I love the message on it, too. You are the hustle, huh?
That's what the shirt says. I am the hustle. They embody the entrepreneurial spirit, and what I like the most, it's more than a brand. It's a lifestyle for those who want to put in the work and expect to have the finer things in life. I also follow them on Instagram. Check this post out.
If you believe money is the root of all evil, you're using it wrong?
Or how about this one? Excuses made $0 an hour.
I like those. What's their IG?
At moneymotivation.co.
But do they have any ladies' gear?
Yes, you're going to love the clothing line they got for the ladies. Matter of fact, pull up their website, moneymotivation.com, and I'm going to get you a few things so we can both look like money.
Everywhere I go, go, and everywhere I be, I don't even talk, talk, they still know it's me. Cause I look like money, smell like money, talk like money, even walk like money.
Interesting. Number three, porn normalizes unhealthy sex. Yeah. Watching porn actually normalizes sex that is not healthy in the relationship. Most porn scenes depict an inequality between the sexes. One study showed that 88% of porn scenes display physical aggression, and a little over half of them also display verbal aggression. If you think about what's crazy about this, is that the porn scenes also seem to display that the women are enjoying this disparity of sexes. So now you're watching these images, and now you're coming into your relationship, which should be a mutually satisfying, mutually submitted relationship, and you've got this inequality from the stuff you're watching, and you actually think that your wife, men, will enjoy your physical and verbal aggression towards them, demeaning them with speech and the things that you do, because it's been normalized through porn.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Angela Connor, as well as special guest Dr. Katrina Pittman for this morning's discussion question. Should porn be introduced into a marriage slash relationship? I got another queen of intellect jumping on this thing, Jendaya. Get her in here. Calling us out of the hot state of Texas right now. I can't believe you're living through that that heat wave out of this world. 110 every day. But you on here with us today. So thank you for being with us, queen. What you got for us?
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Star. You lie.
Oh, you coming my way?
Yeah, yeah. I brought you on live. I said I was calling, bragging about the fact, well, that you getting on here with 110 heat wave in Texas. Thank you for calling in. Go ahead,
baby. Okay, I got you. You're so right, because it is hot out here. Okay. What's up with it, everybody? It is your girl, Zendaya, the founder of Black, Grown, and Married. I'm excited to chime in and see what our guests got going on and what they got to say, honey. Let's get into it.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay, cool. Absolutely. Glad to get you on this thing. But, okay, so let's just kind of, I said I would give a positive situation again, because we're not just trying to – we said, should it be introduced into a marriage? And so we're obviously talking about how it can be. You know, again, people
and
have
I
different
want
experiences.
To
yeah, absolutely. And so, okay, absolutely, we'll let you do that. And so, again, I'm going to tell this situation, but at the same time, we're not doing this without discussing the consequences, as you just heard from another cut from Relationship Shot saying, hey – that it can focus you on unhealthy sex, if you will, going kind of back to what we had already mentioned, just the POV, the point of view that a lot of porn is in. And Angela was able to highlight, you know, I guess that guy said 80-something percent of it is one POV. So, again, maybe you go and find that 12% or that 15% from another POV if you're going to introduce it possibly. But I'll tell you, you're getting my very positive experience within a relationship. It is kind of crazy because when I first got to Atlanta, you know, back in 2003 or whatever, I was trying to get into the music industry with a record label and things of that nature. But something that I would do is I would sell music because I'm big into music or whatever, and I would sell music in the barbershops and music and movies, if you will, you know, kind of the hustle man that come in the, you know, the barbershop selling the movies and music and movies, if you will, or whatever. Although I personally wasn't into porn, if you will. I mean, I've seen it over the years or whatever, but I just never was in. For me, I always wanted the real thing, so I didn't really care for the movies when I was young like that or whatever. But I would sell a lot of pornography to people who obviously wanted it. So I almost had like these regular customers that I knew if I got, you know, these different porn movies, I would sell the hell out of that, you know, them or whatever. But the movie I sold the most of, and I'll never forget it because it outsold everything by a mile. If y'all are familiar with, I think it's Corinne Steffens, known as Superhead or whatever. She became a farmer phenomenon back when I was moving these DVDs or whatever. And so it's kind of like, can you get that video, the one that kind of put her on the map or whatever? And so it's like, I got the video. Again, at this time, I'm not really into watching these videos. I just get them and, you know, just look at the back enough to say, all right, this one's a fail or whatever. But when they ask you for that, of course I go get it. And this thing is selling so good. I'm making so much money. I'm like, damn, I need to watch and see what everybody look at it. You know what I'm saying? So I looked at it, and I was like, okay, I see why they like this or whatever. So I find myself watching it here and there every now and then or whatever. And so I wasn't in a relationship at the time that I was selling it like that, but I never stopped selling it. I always kind of had it just in case somebody hadn't seen it or whatever. Anyway, I ended up dating this one sister or whatever. She was curious about the video, so I was so excited to show it to her because this was mind-blowing to me. I was also pleased that her curiosity and wanting to watch it was she wanted to practice and emulate. So that was my amazing example of a positive use.
It was that for me.
Within
I got to single-handedly teach somebody.
Yeah. Because it was the video that kept on giving. Because once you got the technique, we didn't need the video no more. You know,
right? You can pass
it was
on.
It was cool.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, we was actually watching it like an educational tool. I was pointing like, yeah, try that right there. I'm
right.
I was pointing like, yeah, what about that right there? Nah, let me stop. I'm joking.
Yeah.
But we used that one time to our effect. And, you know, it's still, as you can see, a very positive memory in my life. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
That word we were using earlier, Dr. Pittman, it's mapped in my memory or something.
Yeah.
Wired
and fired together.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm dominating this show. Let me go ahead, Angela. I think you had a positive.
Wait,
talk about
I had a positive. Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Go ahead. All right, Dr. Pittman, you fucked up.
Yeah.
I figured you was giving out so much therapy and medication.
Yeah. I'm a real therapist. Oh yes, because in the real world, all of this is real, right?
Right.
And so I got two positive scenarios on how it could be used beneficial. One, I said the word kind of has a tang to it. So if we come in, take an example of two innocent green people who are just ideally raised and, you know, you don't talk about it, you don't look at it, and they were obedient, and now they are young adults, married, and they do know missionary style, but they want to grow and explore.
Absolutely.
So I would definitely use that as a tool. to use as teaching tools. It may not be for me the videos are the first go-tos. I would introduce it through sex education, intimacy awareness, knowing yourself, knowing what you like, maybe some Kama Sutra books or tantric sex sound music, so that you may be helping your body discover how you get stimulated without that visual, because that visual and the sound of porn is so dominating. If you wire that way, it takes it away again from the two of you into that outside image. And so then if it got to the point where we're talking about visual, again, the Kama Sutra are books, so they're standstills. So it's just showing really leg up here, cross over here behind the neck, you know, let's try this position. And then there are some teaching tool videos, and more so like classes, right? Everybody's heard of hedonism and other opportunities where intimacy of
smoking. Oh, yeah, how about
So let me just jump in
and have you explain that word before you continue. Let's make sure people are clear, because everybody hasn't heard hedonism. So tell us that, then continue.
So it's just a name that, yes, and this is just an organization that puts together a retreat to learn about how to become intimate. It's done in a professional way. I've never physically been to one, but it's not like, ooh, come here, let's everybody have a orgy. It's not like even on trapeze for those who are local. It's not like that, but it's very private, but educational, that you go back and you try. These are tools to engage in intimacy, not necessarily outside tools, using your body as a tool. You're already bring with you everywhere you go stuff before you extend out to other toys, gadgets, video props, or things like that. So it's a healthy way to bring in that introduction. And then it could be just one person had lived their life and one person was sheltered. And that person who lived their life had a lot of sexual experiences and had to explore their sexual identity and really has a very robust experience, where the person that in this season, they're mature, but this person was a little sheltered and green. And they didn't have some of those experiences. And so they're committed. They've been committed. The relationship started in a healthy space. And so there may be that desire for that one who has had more experience to want to explore with that person. Now, I would say this is a conversation you have even before you get married or decide to be committed. But if you know that there's that possibility, when it comes, it's like, well, you know, I heard of this scissor style. Can we try that? You know, I like us to do a little bit more different positioning. You know, we don't have to try any other tools or gadgets, because even if it's not video, those other tools or gadgets that's not already connected to your body could be a transfer just like the video. So you want to try to do it. But if you had those teaching tools and environments where this is how you lift the pelvic.
Makes sense. Let me jump in real quick, because we got a couple
what
of minutes
was the name
before
of
the break. Yeah, I appreciate all of that, if you will. But I also want to highlight kind of a flip side. Again, just being a little funny here, but it's a real flip side, because I mentioned the idea of how I, in a sense, got introduced to porn, like most of us, especially back then when it wasn't all digital and so easily available. And I know it's got to be difficult for parents to even protect their children from that stuff in an era where screens are all available and stuff like that. But I also want to highlight, going back to that POV of that most porn is in, one of the biggest mistakes, you know, for us as young men, you know, in a sense, being introduced to porn in the manner that we typically are. I know I think I was maybe 19 or 20 when I kind of committed to my first girlfriend in college, and I was definitely a young man, not necessarily trying to commit to women, if you will, at that point in my life or whatever, but I commit to my girlfriend, and I kind of messed with her for a couple, you know, situationship for 2 years before we got committed, if you will, or whatever. But at that point, once we had you know, got to know each other for that number of years, she finally felt comfortable basically telling me in the couple years that we messed around off and on, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And I've talked about this on the show before, but I'm highlighting it because a lot of what I was doing was learn from them damn videos. So that's another aspect of seeing the POV, thinking that that's real sex. And I'm kind of just shooting back to the cut at the top of the hour that was highlighting the thinking this, it normalizes unhealthy sex. And so, again, I wouldn't say what I was doing was necessarily unhealthy. It was just learning some bad shit. And, you know, again, from porn, that's showing me, oh, these women love it based on their reaction, and that wasn't the real thing. Mm-hmm. You know? She was like, you got to slow down. She said, I remember she finally told me. She realized I didn't have Yeah, she realized.
Robbing all in my ears
I really didn't
always.
Have an ego. Yeah, I got to go to break, y'all. So let me jump in here. I just want to finish and go to break. Let me jump in. Okay, let me go to break. Don't come in. I'm just trying to go to break real quick. I want to close this out properly. So what happened was she realized my ego was in a space where she could take letting me know I didn't know what I was doing. And I remember saying to her when she bust my little bubble, I'm like, well, why'd you mess with me for a couple of years? And she literally said my conversation was that good. And so it was kind of like, damn, my conversation kept you around? Because I'm sitting there thinking I'm doing some shit. Here I am doing, ain't doing a damn thing, man. So let me go to break.
The main thing was
right
the main thing.
You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. We'll be right back. Well, all I ask is that you think.
What happens when your customers call your business and you're too busy to answer or call them back in a timely manner? You lose that business. Shockingly, 61% of inbound calls go unanswered. But fear not, tchmedia.ai is here to change the game. We specialize in capturing, nurturing, and converting your prospects into loyal customers. With our state-of-the-art communication solutions, no interaction will be left behind. When you miss a call, we've got you covered with automatic, engaging texts that keep your prospects connected and eager to choose you over your competitors. Don't let potential customers slip away. Make the smart choice with tchmedia.ai and skyrocket your conversions today. tchmedia.ai is here to change the game.
And the fourth thing to consider is that porn together usually leads to porn alone. Yeah. No, what a surprise, right? No. We're just going to watch it together. We've already discussed this. We've already made an agreement. We're not going to watch it on our own. We're just going to watch it together. Sure you are. So you're going to stimulate your mind. You're going to create these maps in your brain that love the activation they get from watching erotic images online. And then you're never going to do it when your spouse is not around. You just never. It's only going to be together. Listen, come on, man. That's not realistic. Most of the time, porn together also leads to porn alone. Most of the time, porn together is because there was already porn alone by at least one of you. But when you start watching porn alone, guess what you're also going to do? You're going to satisfy yourself sexually alone, which then means you no longer have the same desire to go towards your spouse in order to have those sexual desires met. So now you're not as aroused by your spouse. And guess what? Now you're going to need to watch porn together. So the danger is you're going to start watching it alone. It's going to rob your marriage of the sexual intimacy you should be having together, because guess what? It's a lot harder to reconcile the relationship, to repair the relationship, to forgive, to do the things to improve the relationship so that we're actually at a place where we both want to have sex with each other. And oftentimes the path of least resistance is let me watch it alone, let me take care of myself alone, and then I don't have to deal with my spouse in this area. So I promise you, if it's not already happening, porn together will almost always lead to porn alone.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Sock G, along with special guest co-host Angela Connor. Our special guest is Dr. Katrina Pittman. Should porn be introduced into a marriage? I also have one of my other Queens of Intellect members on the line with us as well, so I definitely want to get her 3 cents. I'm going to start with Dr. Pittman, then go to Jendaya, if you will. Dr. Pittman, I'm pretty sure you've already kind of mentioned that that's an aspect that you have to be concerned with if you do decide as a couple to introduce it. But he's highlighting, again, one of those other risks. So if you can give us some quick thoughts on that, and then we'll let Jandiah give us her 3 cents as well, if you will.
Yeah, really quickly, just to drop the mic moment on that, it will begin to you learn how to self-soothe. Now you're watching it alone. You watch it together alone. I can just get
myself. You're a little muffled, I don't know what you're doing, Dr. Pittman, but if you could.
Okay, how about this now? Great. So I can just get myself taken care of becomes that mindset. So I don't want to work through, baby, you look sad. Oh, she's sad. I don't feel like. Let me just go over here. Or, oh, he in one of those moods. Let me just go ahead and take care of myself. It's going to continue to separate us. And I love the fact that he just said that if you continue down that path, it's going to be hard to reconcile. It's not going to be worth the intimacy challenges to clear them up and then get back to that healthy engaging. You'll choose to, by default, I just want to go to sleep real quick. I can just do this. They want to cuddle. I want to do all that afterwards. I can just do this. And then you begin to, again, slowly disconnect.
No, it makes a lot of sense. So there is high risk of erosion is what I'm hearing. And, again, we're not telling anyone out there listening which way to go. It's just the dialogue about kind of both sides of it, if you will. Jandiah, with you being, again, the founder of Black Grown and Married, I don't know if this is an issue y'all have ever approached, if you will, but for, you know, a couple out there listening, hey, spicing up, possibly using porn to spice up their life, you know, again, and we've talked about also is a reality as well, but again, there are two sides to the story. But as you hear some of this information that you've heard, just give us your 3 cents, whether it's the last segment or just what you just heard as well. Whatever you want to jump in on, please do, Queen.
I'm going to definitely chime in on that last cut, but before I do, let me give my disclaimer now. Introducing explicit content into a marriage is definitely like a personal decision. You know, that depends on the purpose and values of the people involved, you know, the parties that are involved in that. And some couples may find that, you know, it can enhance their intimacy and communication, while others, you know, don't feel so great about it, okay? So I did want to just drop that in there. So like you said, we're not telling you which way to go. But I want to chime in on, like, what he just said, honey. That baby, pulling together, I always wind up in pulling alone. Let me tell you something. Typically, winds up in pulling alone. You know, we be about the facts over here. I know how you love your facts, Montoya. So I definitely, you know what I'm saying, checked out some of the research to see if it would match what I was feeling. Okay. And so it does lead to things like communication issues, unrealistic expectations, you know, decreased intimacy. Now, we ain't talked about that much, but it can interfere with even being able to get an erection, you know what I'm saying, or arousal for that matter. It can give trust issues, comparison and jealousy, because we'll start off together, but like you say, it's the images. And it does play physically. I couldn't find them numbers, but I remember looking into that. Physically, it does something to the brain, to where it interferes with those things and, you know, gets you addiction. That's what I'm going with. It can create addiction concerns. Now you're dealing with coping mechanisms because, like, you need this thing in order to even do this thing, you know, with the person that you genuinely are in a relationship with. It's like they wind up being moved out. So we have to definitely be careful now if you start doing it that way. I think that there are more there are better ways than porn, honey, okay? Like you said a minute ago about that organization, I missed the name of that business, but being able to learn how to explore our bodies, I do think in relationships we need that, right? But we need it in a healthy way, right? So it doesn't become some kind of orgy type of shit, okay? But, like, having conversations about what you like, what you don't like, and just exploring each other's touch and feel in that regard definitely can play. You know, we definitely need that in marriages because people do have sex issues. But porn, kind of that's a thin line because of all those things that I just mentioned.
It makes a lot of sense. Angela, this is perfect for you. Again, being someone who is in this space, teaching others in relationships and couples how to get intimate. So just based on Jandiah laying out beautifully, again, a lot of the risk associated with it. And again, we've been, like she said, personal choice. We're not telling anyone necessarily how to go. But considering somebody may be considering porn as a tool, as you said, you have a lot of tools. So what other things might be considered verses of porn just based on your background, just to kind of throw it out there for someone who's looking for a way to spice up and they're thinking about porn, what might you suggest or offer with your background?
Yeah, healthy ways to receive that sexual gratification from each other, especially
I'm jumping to Angela on that. Yep, sorry.
Oh no, that was a question for Angela. That was a statement for Angela.
Oh, okay, you want to add something more to the question?
I thought you were answering when I spoke.
Unfortunately, we're all on phone, so I couldn't see you. So yeah, go ahead and add your to what you want to have her answer as well. I misunderstood. I didn't know you were adding to the question. Go ahead, Jedi.
Yeah, I was agreeing with you in that regard and saying, yeah, when it comes to healthy ways to retrieve like that sexual arousal and interest in each other physically, whether you be a new couple coming in or one time for those who've been married for a couple of forever, honey, and trying to get it back or keep it going.
So, give us some pointers out there in addition to porn, if you will. Again, we're not saying porn, you know, it's got to be gone, but again, what's some other things people could do?
Yeah, so create your erotica, right? Create that space for you and your partner or yourself. We are so busy in life that we don't take time to be sensual with each other. So the first thing is creating that space. You know, what is your partner like? What do you like? And make that happen. Do we talk about men caves, but do a couple cave, right, where you guys can take time to explore together. You bring out your tools, your toys, or we can talk about the toys that you want to use, but create that safe space for you guys to explore your sexuality together is the number one thing to do. And if you don't know how to do that, then you ask somebody like me. They can teach you how to use certain things. I can teach you how to do modified positions, right? We get older. I think all of us are probably over 40 in this group maybe, or in the 30s. We start to get older and your body changes, right? How do you keep that spice without, you know, putting out your back or messing up your hip or whatever?
I ain't trying to hear none of that old people shit, Angela. Don't jump in. Area code 307, last 3700. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents. Or you can remain anonymous. I know sometimes the sex shows people don't want to give their name. So if you don't want to give your name, that's fine.
Fucking Jerome from the 303, Denver, Colorado, bro.
Okay, what's going on? What you got for us, Jerome? Jump in this thing with us.
Yo, all I gotta say though is I love it when a fucking wide ass cracker ass bitch likes to fucking whip me, fucking put me in my motherfucking place.
I ain't never did it. I've spent 8 years of a show. I ain't never had to do that. We are not politically correct. You can call the show and give us your 3 cents, but that right there is ridiculous and has no place, even on our politically incorrect show. So that we're going to let that ride right there. 8 years,
next
I ain't never had anything that's like that. Yeah, absolutely next caller. All right, y'all. I should have let y'all jump in if I knew that was coming.
But you know what? I think that's what the undercurrent warnings or proceed with cautions are. Because the way sex has been introduced and just our conversation can stimulate somebody to do what that caller did. And so why are we bringing this into this significant relationship that we're wanting? Whose benefit? Is it yours or mine? If I'm already doing that behavior alone, right, we already know the stats on it. You're going to continue to do it alone, and you're not going to be as fully satisfied. But these are just outliers of proceed with caution. You can do anything you want, but is it beneficial? Is it beneficial? What is the end game goal?
Mm-hmm.
Because we can definitely grow intimacy. I definitely believe, especially when you're talking about longevity, intimacy levels and different types and sustaining a long-lasting relationship, everything changes. And so even how we engage in intimacy changes. And so it will always need to be able to open it up the healthy dialogue to talk about. And there are healthy ways of growing and discovering things and even growing in where you're willing to be uninhibited. But these are good. I love the topic, and we've had a immediate experience of how it can go south and the dangers around this delicate topic.
Nah, fair enough. Thank you so much for a beautiful wrap-up right before the break. We're going to go to break 817. We'll get to you coming out of the break. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Hey, are you a wine drinker?
A little bit here and there, but my wife definitely loves hers. Why you ask?
Man, you got to try this vegan wine by Sip and Share Wine. I ran across them at this event in Atlanta, and now I keep me a few bottles at the house. What flavor you like?
I like me a good red or maybe a nice dipping deal or something. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Try the sweet red first.
Okay, that's nice and smooth right there. Yeah, that's kind of sweet like I like it. You know what I'm talking about?
For sure. That's why I like that one as well. Hey, now try this Conjure Zinfandel. This one was featured in Forbes magazine as a top 10 drink for the summer. See what you think.
Oh, okay. Now that's fire right there. Where can I get a bottle of that?
Just go to sipandsharewines.com. They'll ship it right to your door. They black on too.
Oh, yeah? Okay, you said what? Shipandsharewines.com, is that it?
Yep.
Bad.
You were saying that we're asking about pornography, and they were asking, you know, I realize we want to, I'll just be direct about it. They were asking whether or not masturbation was bad. They were asking whether or not masturbation with ejaculation was particularly bad. And here's my stance on this. I'm a biologist and a neuroscientist, not a psychologist. But what we know for sure is that if an individual repeatedly engages in this circuitry, let's say masturbation and pornography, with increasingly potent forms of stimulation that are on a screen,
yep,
a couple of things happen. First of all, what's being reinforced? What's being reinforced is a high dopaminergic response to watching other people engage in sexual behavior, which is very different than being in a first-person sexual experience. Okay, so right there, you know that what's being reinforced is not actually any kind of improvement in communication skills.
Voyeurism.
It's voyeurism. And as these questions started to come in more and more, I started to realize there was a lot of kind of undertones of people talking about fear of or experience with sexual dysfunction that clearly pornography can lead to. And here I'm specifically talking about males. I actually don't know the literature on females. So here I'm talking about...
Females don't use visual pornography to the same degree.
I see.
They use literary pornography.
I see. So, so, and then you start to think about, okay, what happens in the cascade or the arc of sexual arousal and orgasm? What happens is that initially there's it's parasympathetically dominant, meaning if somebody is too stressed, they actually can't engage in sexual behavior. The arousal response doesn't occur. Erection is blunted, but the actual orgasm response and ejaculation is strongly associated with the so-called sympathetic nervous system, which has nothing to do with sympathy. It has everything to do with, it's a kind of a stress response. And then it reverses to a parasympathetic response. And then a hormone called prolactin increases dramatically after ejaculation in males. What does that do? That blunts dopamine release and testosterone for a very long period of time, which makes sense if pair bonding and sort of, you know, in our species anywhere, there's this idea that then other molecules would be exchanged with partners, pair bonding, potential for raising mates, etc. Without getting into a huge discussion about that, the point is this. Masturbation and pornography are potently tapping into the dopamine system and can undermine the very processes of which I consider healthy processes of finding a mate, you know, dating, communication, eventually, if it's appropriate, sexual interaction,
well,
et cetera.
Like it's undermining pair bonding.
And pair bonding.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Angela Connor, the Mistress of Sexuality. And our special guest is Dr. Katrina Pittman. Should porn be introduced into a marriage? I got Jendai hanging on, Queens of Intellect member hanging on as well. But I definitely felt necessary to introduce the intellectual outcast there listening. If you definitely hear me play a lot of cuts from Jordan Peterson, he was kind of in the background there, but that was actually, I think he's a doctor, Dr. Andrew Huberman,
Definitely recommend finding him again, Intellectual Outcast. This is the home of intelligent radio, right? You know what I mean? So we obviously had that quick episode. We have a couple other callers wanting to get in. I hope they're not trolling like that one guy. Again, we've been doing this for 8 years, never had that. So I hope the next caller isn't doing that. But before I introduce the caller, a couple callers actually want to jump in, looks like. But before I introduce them, I want to really take care of that cut and why I introduced the cut. Because as I listened to Andrew Huberman break down the actual psychology, or the actual, I should say, the neurology of it, right?
The physiology.
Yep, all of that, right? And like you said, you know, I like to have my facts or whatever. So as I was listening to that, the reason I brought that up is because as I've kind of, you know, jokingly laughed about years ago selling pornography, not necessarily personally being into it. I've definitely had some moments or whatever. But I actually had a period during the pandemic, because I wasn't made it, if you will, during the pandemic. And, you know, we've done shows about what relationships were like after the pandemic and, you know, just having to be indoors during that time or whatever. So there's a lot that came out of it. But I'll say, personally, since I wasn't, I did find myself exploring pornography during that period, since I didn't have a situation where relatively, you know, specifically the time we were stuck in the house, if you will. And so I started exploring some of those old pornography tapes that I had left around, if you will. I still have a DVD player, if you will. And then I went ahead, and because I had seen those, to the point that's been made earlier in the show, you want to get expansive, because, you know, what you're using is not necessarily working. And so that's how I even, in a sense, found Pornhub, if you will. So I've never, prior to the pandemic, I don't know if I'd ever looked at porn on the internet intentionally, right? So I moved from the little DVDs that I had, messed around, you know, found, and would use kind of the same videos, just being honest, for a period, but then eventually it would escalate. I would need more. Not having explored this as a young man, was having this experience literally just a couple of years ago, during the pandemic, during the shutdown, if you will, not realizing the consequences. Didn't know that I would need to elevate or whatever. So what it absolutely led to a couple of years ago was not knowing what we just heard in the previous cut, not the one that just played, but the one on the last cut. It was this one where he's talking about being blunted and actually having trouble intimately, physically. So when I experienced it, I didn't have no idea it came from again, I wasn't watching it all the time, I'll be honest. But what happened was, when I remember in my 20s, I remember reading about men, you know, once we reach 25, our sperm count goes down and that kind of stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. So even as a young boy, I'm gonna put a lot together here, and I'm gonna let y'all jump in. So even as a young boy, in the black community or whatever, even masturbation, at least years ago, was kind of treated as taboo. I don't think it is anymore, but it was kind of treated as taboo. So one, you kind of wouldn't want to do it, or if you did it, you definitely didn't quote unquote share it to a degree, or whatever. And then as you get more sexually explored, you kind of play around with it. But I really, be honest with you, I was never really a big masturbator. You know what I mean? I would have my moments. I went to a military college, and we had moments when we couldn't get out to the public or whatever. And so maybe I would or whatever. So I would, in a sense, use it here and there most of my young life or whatever. When I read about the testosterone count and that regular use is just the way that you could or whatever, I actually mentally, when I was dating or not having careers where I was not dating, if you will, then I would masturbate just a little more, worried about my sperm count. Like I was, for me, it was just a strategic thing. So I'm highlighting that I had that background. Then I jumped to the pandemic, thinking I'm doing the same thing, but I'm using porn now versus when I was a young man, I would just my imagination to a degree, and I looked at it as maintenance. Again, I wasn't a regular masturbator. I'm just keeping it a buck. But during the pandemic, during the lockdown, the porn, thinking I was doing the same thing, turned it into I had trouble physically. Now, and one of my friends just suggested, a lady friend said, maybe you shouldn't, you know, watch it that much or whatever. It was kind of like them during the pandemic. I literally just took heed to that, and it changed my physical
ability to, you know, be with people back to what I used to, because I am a Scorpio and like to brag, but I literally was openly telling people after the pandemic, I can't brag because I don't know what I can do. Like, I'm just keeping it at 100. And it was literally the visual pornography that did that to me unknowingly. No. I did not know. Absolutely. Now I'm playing a cut that explains exactly what happened to me. So I don't mind making that confession, but I'm just sharing that is one of the risks. In the event that you and I are coupled and one of us, me or you, decide to, as they keep saying on this show, start watching it along, you're going to risk the intimacy inside of your own relationship. Wanted to make that confession. That's a real life experience that I have had. I'm glad I ain't watching none of that, because I'd much rather have the real thing and be able to activate during the real thing. So, again, I wanted to tell that story. Dr. Pittman, I'm going to kind of let you give a quick thought, and then we're going to let the caller jump in real quick.
Yeah, I love that they really emphasize what the biochemical response is happening to us. Even from that last cut with masturbation or porn, it's going to undermine it just with that. And then the numbing of, or the, like, say, just our genital areas, they have those extra nerve endings and they're hypersensitive. Well, constant rubbing of them is just really numbing down the nerve. And so even if you found out, the more you would continue to masturbate or to watch porn to have that orgasm, it's going to take longer. It's going to take longer. Then you're going to like, okay, I only got 5 more minutes. Come on, this is taking long, because your body is so used to it. It's kind of numb and desensitized. And so even for the mental ability to maintain an erection, sometimes it's not that you can't get one. It's about, can I maintain it throughout the entire act? And those things are how secretively your mind has been being rewired to produce those positive chemicals at the wrong time. And so then when you need them, it's hard to generate them.
Yeah, that's so important, because I was literally clueless and never had been a person who explored Viagra or stuff like that. I still never did, but I was thinking, like, might I need, am I at that point? Like, it was very disheartening to a Scorpio's ego to think, and because I'm thinking is, if I can get stimulated with this visual, how the hell, and again, being someone who never was into pornography, did not care for strip clubs, I've never been that guy. So for a brief moment in my life, I was super worried, like, how is the real thing not working, not knowing that this had hijacked everything you just talked about. All right, let's take a shot with 817-174, hoping it's not another troller. Again, we just had a situation we've never had on the show. But if you will, give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion. You're live on the air.
What's up? It's Vicky, and I have a question for the ladies. Who has better jizz, men or black guys or white guys? Because I think white guys have crustier jizz, and it makes better hair gel than mousse on the market.
So, yeah, we got – I don't know how we've gotten – I guess like you said, Dr. Pitt, that this particular – you put this kind of show up, you get crazy people calling.
It brings out crazy stuff.
Yeah, like I said,
that is the main problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess somehow in the algorithm they're finding us. This is super crazy. All right, well, we definitely don't want to play around with that mess. I'm scared to take another
call. Can I say one thing
now
to what you said?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, and just to recap, you were just talking about the disconnect that happened. So one of the things, if I don't have another chance, I just want to say it now. So one of the things I do recommend is the withholding and sustaining. So like your friend recommended to you, maybe you just pull off from watching it. That definitely will create a better response. If you find that now you're wanting more or you're not as satisfied, if you reduce your interactions, especially if it's through porn or those stimulating type of things, start to cut off all other avenues to get that type of arousal and stimulation, and then you will see the increase of the way it was originally started, with just the two of you or just you engaging in those intimate conversations with your significant others. That's all I wanted to say.
Matter of fact, let me just go ahead and do this last break, and Jedi, you can come out of the break. All right, anybody, I would say get in, but right now I don't know if I can trust these callers. Again, this is super weird. Again, 8 years, never had any trollers on the show. I'm used to seeing this on the internet and on YouTube, but over here on our audio-only show, we usually haven't had this experience. I don't even know how they're finding us, but I guess, again, if you put this in your title, you're going to attract crazy people. But with that said, we will go to break, and we'll let Jedidiah come out of the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Truth seekers, please understand, Mental Dialogue is much more than just a talk show. Each and every Saturday, we communicate with you for two reasons, to dialogue and connect. On the dialogue side, we cater to you intellectual outcasts who feel you have no place for honest discourse on race, sex, culture, and African-American business. On the connect side, we've created a community where you can connect with experts specifically in finance, whether personal or business, and mental health, whether it's trauma or to optimize performance, along with all the other skill sets from other MD community members. Our mission was to create a virtual nationwide neighborhood where African Americans learn to trade ideas, goods, and services through social media, meetups, and this podcast. To become a neighbor of the Mental Dialogue Community Club, please visit us at mentaldialogue.com. We are better with you than we are without you. We can be neighbors even though we don't live next to each other. Hashtag raise the culture.
If you were in Atlanta last night, Dr. Pittman, you missed out. Soapbox Dialogue. Absolutely amazing. I think you know Latrice Ross. She actually was our winner, if you will. We had this amazing poet, mother, the creator. She was the runner-up and the people's champs. They voted for her or whatever. But we also had Aaron, Mr. Let Go, Mallory, as well as Corey Henry from Steam Revolution jump on their soapboxes at the Mental Dialogue Live experience at Urban Grind. Shout out to Urban Grind, black-owned coffee shop in Midtown Atlanta. But we had an amazing event last night.
Awesome.
Again, all four soapboxes with X's. I really don't even know how the judges decided who the winner was, but shout out to Latrice, one of our queens of intellect members who held it down, and judges selected her as the soapbox champion last night. Speaking of not only this show, but the Mental Dialogue Community Club, Jedidiah is one of our members out of Texas, if you will. We are a club where we not only exchange ideas, have these incredible dialogues, but the ultimate reason we do it is to connect people to do business with each other, and there was definitely some connection made last night, potentially a couple of real estate deals, being considered. And then our sponsor you've heard on this show, TCH Media, they help people automate their contact, whether it's some of you getting missed calls. If you've heard the commercial, you get missed calls, they'll contact them, send them a text, and it actually shore ups return business and chasing down those people you may have missed that tried to contact your business. They automate all of that. And so we definitely have some people that may link up with TCH Media. Dr. Pittman, I'll throw out, that may be something you want to look into as well. But have to highlight, we're not just a radio show. We are here to dialogue and connect people. So that's what Mental Dialogue is. If you want to support what we're doing, go to mentaldialogue.com. This morning's discussion question, should porn be introduced into a marriage or relationship? Dendai, you had some thoughts before the break, so I hope made you hold on for a little while, but I hope you can, give us your thoughts. Go ahead, Queen.
Indeed. I was just going to add a personal myself. In my own marriage, like, we've experienced porn, and with the communication, of course, but like you said, porn together is porn alone. We've experienced that, but we've also experienced, like, the eroticism in it. But we came to the mutual agreement, porn physically, like, porn for him was different for me. Right? Like, I don't really get it, but if this does it for you, we can entertain such a thing, which goes into having that conversation. But over time, it wasn't a lot of porn because we're pretty sexual anyway in that regard. But the few times that it was like after having multiple conversations. And then my husband is like a health guru and learning those things. In fact, when I was talking about the physical effects of porn, that's like research he did. You know what I'm saying? That was his 2 cents that I was sharing, you know. Now, we did not get to that point, but what we did was we curved it. So this is like one of the suggestions, how in the video they were talking about, you wind up taking yourself out of it physically and psychologically because you're watching other people in it and you're not a part of that thing, which creates that separation. So for us, one of the things that I love to do from time to time is we just created our own damn porn. Okay?
We film,
you know what I'm saying? We set up our own little camera at the crib, okay? And then we film each other. Not only are we able to use that later for our eroticism as we're looking at ourselves and giving it back, you know, but we also have what I call pillow talk. What do you like more or the most? You know what I'm saying? Or the least. So having like those open lines of communication and creating that safer space for you and your relationship versus bringing somebody in, it also removes like those trust issues and you exploring outside of your own intimate relationship with this person because you're looking for something that doesn't even exist. So that's something to consider. That's one of my little quick tips for the couples out there, okay? You can really do this
Let
damn
me
thing
find
yourself, okay?
Out. I can find you on Pornhub with your hood bed. Let me go research.
We got
grown
to look at, we got the Jones uphold at the house.
See where I come up. grown, black, grown, and married on Pornhub. See what come up on this side.
Baby, won't be on Pornhub, but we do have the Jones upload at the premium, okay?
The Jones upload.
Okay.
You ain't got to lie, Craig. You ain't got to lie, Craig. You know y'all was on OnlyFans getting stacked.
Yeah, like that's the game changer. It's making yourself between people. You know what I'm saying? And creating like those inner spaces and continuing the conversation of like what works and what don't work. Or should I say, oh, what works the most or what works most earned? Is that a word? It ain't. I just made it up. Y'all made it up.
Hey, it's gonna be one. That's all that matters. It's a word if we understand it. It is. But either way, that's real good. Angela, any thoughts? Because I definitely...
And it winds
up
being so much more beneficial.
I actually was going to bring it up. Now, I haven't personally experienced it, you know, so anybody, future lovers out there, you know, I think that might be a good tip by Jen Dyer. Listening, you know what I'm saying? You might want to make a fair with your boy, you know. Just keep that in mind. I ain't never did that. You know what I'm saying? But I was gonna bring it up. You really took the words out of my mouth.
Let me give a disclaimer now. I only recommend that for people in a certain level of committed relationships. Okay, because what you don't want to happen is I hear being boyfriend, girlfriend, and then you wind up, you shit all over the internet. You know what I'm saying? You have to be ready for a certain level of sexual intimacy and commitment with a person. Where the trust is genuine and not when
trust.
I get pissed off at you, it goes wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
that's
why I'm a pro.
Definitely. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Not something really, I ain't do no videos as boyfriend, girlfriend. I'm going to say that for the record. God damn me. Let me tell you.
That's real. I'm glad you said that.
It's a certain level of commitment because it's sexual energy that you're entertaining and that you're engaging in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it requires a certain level of maturity. And so it's like when you play these games in sex, what you're doing is every time you're sexually intimate with somebody, you're saying, I trust you with my life. You understand?
Absolutely.
So for me, it took a couple of flavors for me to play this kind of chord, just for the record, okay?
That's a good record. I'm so glad you said that. Angela, jump in if you will, Queen.
Oh, just saying, absolutely agreeing with what the sister is saying. You know, it's a trust thing, right? And if you're not really sure about the video when you're in that type of relationship, maybe try some pictures, right, for each other. Do some pictures or something. But trust has to be the key ingredient to anything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a lot of sense. Thank you. I think that's an amazing tip. Because, again, I was going to only have to do it in question form because, again, I've never explored that. But I was, even in me being facetious, absolutely thinking of it, you know, more of a long-term situation. Because, you know, when you, one, have maybe never been mated or when we're young or whatever, again,
right.
Still not telling people which way to go with this conversation. This is just a full dialogue. Or whatever, but when you're young, you're definitely, I've always thought about, you know, I've always said, well, shit, once I made it forever, I'm willing to do a lot of things that I clearly don't even want to do, you know, or have not done, you know, currently, but I've always said everything's on the table, well, you know, with it, I mean, like I should say everything, but a lot's on the table once it's, because I'll put it in my own crude way that I like to say it is, yeah, if you the last piece of pussy I'm going to have, I'm willing to do anything for it.
I'm going to have, so I'm not saying,
you can't just do anything to me. I still got, don't take that too far, but I'm just highlighting, you know, there's certain things I haven't explored, or I can admit, I've explored a time or two, and I've always said, no, I wouldn't do that again unless it was my wife. So even in me highlighting the idea of making a porn sounds enticing to me, but I will admit, enticing in a committed, for me, I would still want to be married, or we know that we're committed to each other for life, like you said, Jendaya. So even in me being funny, I would even like to highlight, personally, that's what it means for me or whatever. Again, we're not telling others out there the way to go, but I definitely is a big risk of filming yourself in today's time, you know, per se in that manner with things easily being able to, you know, being uploaded to a computer by accident or whatever. So definitely careful with that. Either one of you, Dr. Pittman, you want to jump in on some of what we're talking about? Yeah, we only got a little more, a few minutes on the show. I think the show's been wonderful outside of the two crazy callers, but we got by that. It was just a little blip in the show. But, yeah, Dr. Pittman, again, should porn be introduced as our overall discussion question? But I think we've explored it pretty much from the full gamut, in my opinion. Your thoughts, Queen?
Yeah, King, I definitely think that there's pros and cons to doing that. You got to know the person. You got to know you. You got to know the person you're with. If you're doing it with the right intent and reason, you might find a space for it. But explore other things, because it has more risk of creating more potential problems than the benefits of what you can do. And so in those exploring other ways, definitely, even if it's to finding your own ways of enhancing and spicing up your intimacy without even visual or word porn, just discovering new parts of you is my take on it. And I'm so excited about us just exploring the topic. And I'm not even moved by those who called in with different intent. It just speaks to the importance of knowing why you're going to engage in this or why you're not going to, and how to do it successfully.
Nah, I love it. So with that said, Dr. Pittman, for anybody that might want to obtain your services or get in contact with you, please share it at the time. Angela, I'll let you do that after Dr. Pittman as well. But go ahead, Dr. Pittman, let people know how they can stay in contact with you. I've sent plenty of referrals to your wonderful Paradigm Shift business, if you will, but again, let people know how they can find you.
Yes, and thank you for that. So Dr. Katrina Pittman, old school way is 404-808-3419. But you can definitely hit me up under A Paradigm Shift. A Paradigm Shift on Facebook, _ A Paradigm Shift on Twitter, A Paradigm Shift on Instagram and Threads. Definitely old school, but don't hesitate. I am there. Same number. You can find me. Just Google Dr. Pittman or Paradigm Shift and allow me to be of service to you.
No, absolutely. And again, as we kind of slightly briefly mentioned on this show, instead of going to porn, call Angela Connor, the mistress of sexuality, to spice up your sex life. How do they keep in contact with you, Angela? Thank you for a great show as well.
Absolutely. The OG way is send by text 404-545-0237. Social media, Wifey Life Tribe. Website is the Wifey Life. And just anybody who knows me can help you get in contact with me if you forget those things. So great to be here and have this conversation. Amazing conversation, guys.
No, absolutely. Yeah, if you become a part of the Mental Dialogue Community Club, you definitely can get in contact with Angela. She's one of our Black level members, so I definitely appreciate her support. Jendaya, thanks for kind of hanging out for the hour or whatever. I knew you were busy this morning, so I didn't put the expectation for you to be on the show, but thank you for giving us the time and the insight in the last piece is that I thought was just super valuable. Like you said, even in exploring this topic, you know, if you will. But if you will, Queen, let them know how they can stay in contact with you, Black, Grown, and Married, and what y'all do. You got about 90 seconds, so try to get it all out because you didn't get a chance to tell them exactly what you do with Black and Grown, Married. So make it quick, and we'll end the show. Thank you, Queen.
Indeed. Black loan is marriage. One of the simplest things can make the biggest difference. We're simply out here to encourage, sustain, and maintain black couples, black relationships. Y'all can get in touch with us. Hit us up on Facebook and or Instagram at symbol black loan and marriage.
Absolutely. Thank you, Queens. It's been a wonderful show. If you were in Atlanta, you missed it. Every third Friday, we have the Mental Dialogue Live Experience, the smartest event in the city where we dialogue and connect. That's what we do best. The draw is the conversations. The ultimate goal is for us to connect and create this virtual nationwide neighborhood where African Americans learn to trade ideas, goods, and service. We are absolutely a premium referral service. Encourage even the members to use that more. See y'all next Saturday. All I ask is that you think.